Is it only me? Is it only me? Am I the only one who has ever said, I just want it all to stop? Am I alone there? No, I'm not alone. There are other people. You just want it to stop. Well, that is the meaning of the word Sabbath. The meaning of the word Sabbath is not to rest. It is to stop. Because God did not need to rest after the creation because he never got tired. He just stopped. He was done. It's like they told me, when you get to the end of an article or a novel or a story, don't write the end. You don't need to. It's overkill. Just stop writing. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the end of the week. This is Martin Zenner. Great truth concerning the Sabbath. Going to dip into the book of Hebrews to show you how there is remaining a Sabbath day for Israel. There is remaining a stopping. And Paul, the inspired writer of Hebrews, ties it in to the week of creation, ties it in to God stopping from his work. And you remember, the key of this whole chronology thing is I'm giving you an analogy between the creation week and the coming millennium, between the creation week and the end of that week. 6 days of creating, 6 days of working. On the sixth day, God created man, then he stopped. And then he stopped from his labors, right? The six and the one. And I've been telling you that there's an analogy there. There's a model for a greater period of time during eons 2 and 3, where God is going to complete his plans for humanity and enter into a larger stopping that is still ahead. How can it still be ahead if we have a stopping every week, every Saturday, every seventh day? The Jewish day, of course, the stopping is on Saturday. That happens every week. That happens 52 times a year. How can there be a Sabbath, a sabbatical, a giant resting remaining for the people of Israel? It's because it's a nudge, nudge, wink, wink. There's another great period ahead. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2. On the sixth day, Elohim finished his work that he had made, and he ceased. There it is. He ceased. Ceased and desist, O Elohim. All right, I think I will. He ceased on the seventh day from all his work that he had made. And Elohim means placer, one who places things. Elohim blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, for in it he ceased from all his work that Elohim had created by making it. Now I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 4. This whole thing with stopping is that it's a resting. It's a mistranslation. It's another one of those mistranslations that robs you of a truth, as if God needed to rest. No, he simply stops creating and relatively takes it easy. This is Paul. And there, by the way, I will say this, I've said for years that Paul wrote Hebrews. He's the only guy that could have written it. He had a master's degree in both evangels, the circumcision and the uncircumcision. Number in the scripture is very important. Paul's letters are 13, which is a very bad number in scripture if you omit Hebrews. If you add Hebrews, now Paul writes 14 letters. And then there, I believe, are 12 letters for the other writers. Otherwise, you have 13 and 11. Not good. And this is 14 and 12. Fantastic. Beautiful. And plus, there are occurrences of words that when you add Hebrews to the occurrence of words that appear in other of Paul's letters, it makes for a beautiful multiple of either of most of the time 7. But if you omit Hebrews and these phrases aren't added to the phrases Paul uses in his other letters, then the whole thing crashes and burns. More evidence from number in scripture that Paul wrote Hebrews. All right, I must interrupt the regularly scheduled program for 1 second here. I need to correct something I just said there about the number of Paul's epistles. That was true, what I said, but it was the other writers that I kind of screwed up on. The New Testament contains 27 separate books, 27 separate books. That's 3 squared, 3 times 3 times 3. 3 is the number of completion. It's a big number. So is 7, of course. Of these 27 separate books, 21 of them are epistles, that is, letters written to people. So 21, of course, is 3 times 7. The 3 and the 7 there, that's perfect. So if you, of the 21 epistles of the New Testament, 14 are by Paul, if you include Hebrews, and 7 by the other writers, which is great. That's perfect. 14 and 7. That's what you want, because it is using a multiple of 7. If you take Hebrews away from Paul, you now have Paul writing 13 epistles, and the other writers then would have to they get 8. 8's not a bad number, but 13 is a terrible number. I was using the entire books of the New Testament, whereas I should have just been looking specifically at epistles there, of which there are 21, 14 by Paul, if you include Hebrews, and 7 to the other writers, which is magical. Chapter 4, we may be afraid then, lest at some time a promise being left of entering into his stopping, any one of you may be seeming to be deficient. Now, of course, this is not our evangel. This is an evangel, and Paul's writing to his people of, pay attention, know what you're doing, know what you're about. You should be afraid, very afraid, if you fail to enter into the stopping. That is the upcoming stopping, as we're going to see. We may be afraid then, lest at some time a promise being left of entering into his stopping, any one of you may be seeming to be deficient. For we also have been evangelized, even as those also. But the word heard does not benefit those hearers, not having been blended together with faith in those who hear. Obviously, you can hear the words all day, but unless there is a response, and of course we know that response has to be given by God, then the hearing is futile. Then we also believe, are entering into the stopping according as he has declared. Then we who believe, let me say that again. We who believe are entering into the stopping according as he has declared. And now Paul's quoting scripture, as I swear in my indignation, if they shall be entering into my stopping. And this is God speaking. I don't have the cross reference there, but Paul's borrowing from the Hebrew scriptures. And so, as I swear in my indignation. The reason he's saying that is because Paul is trying to tell the Hebrews that, and they would know this already, there is an indignation coming. That's the one we're looking down the barrel of right now. And unless they enter into the stopping, they will taste that indignation. And Paul continues here in his own words, although the works occur from the disruption of the world, for he has declared somewhere. See, even Paul doesn't know the reference. I like that. This is a quote from scripture. He has declared somewhere concerning the seventh thus, and God stops on the seventh day from all his works. All right, that's from Genesis. I guess Paul didn't know the reference. There were no chapter and verse headings at that time. So Paul is drawing on Genesis to teach the truth of a Sabbath, of a rest, not rest, sorry. See, I fall under the old habits. A stopping for the people of Israel. That becomes the pattern. The first week becomes a pattern. Paul quoting again, and God stops on the seventh day from all his works. And in this again, another quote from the Hebrew scriptures, if they shall be entering into my stopping. Verse 6, Hebrews 4. Since then, listen to this. This is huge. Since then, it is left for some to be entering into it, and those to whom the evangel was formerly brought did not enter because of stubbornness. He is again specifying a certain day. Quote, today, saying is David, after so much time, according as he has declared before, today, if ever his voice you should be hearing, you should not be hardening your hearts. So here, Paul is drawing in another analogy. From the Exodus into Egypt, saying that many did not enter into the promised land. So there was another analogy brought forth, an intermediary, I guess, analogy between Genesis and Hebrews, where the book of Hebrews, where the Jews, the Hebrews, were supposed to enter into the promised land, but because of unbelief, many of them, most of them, entire generations, save for two, did not enter into the promised land. This is exciting. In verse 7, he is again specifying a certain day. He is again specifying a certain day. We're finding from Bader that this word again is very comforting. Day follows day, season follows season. It's a repetition. God lays a foundation of dependability in the past, shows us how he's consistent. The sun has kept coming up every day since Adam. That is amazing. Nothing stopped it. Talk about an energizer bunny. Talk about a long-lasting battery. So this has gone on, and it's a comfort because, again, if we know the God of the past, we can take comfort in the God of the future because he's not doing anything, well, in a sense, he's not doing anything different as far as his techniques. But his techniques will be used to bring something completely different that we've never seen before. Today, if ever his voice you should be hearing, you should not be hardening your hearts. The ellipsis there would be like your brothers and sisters did back in the day when Moses brought them out of Egypt. 8, for if Joshua causes them to stop, he would not have spoken concerning another day after these things. So even the entering into the promised land, it was a stopping in a sense, but Joshua spoke of a further stopping. There's something ahead that is the epic stopping, the epic ceasing of your works, the epic relaxation. That's the positive side of this. I could say stop. A stop sign sounds violent. It's 8 sides. It's red. It says stop. Speaking of the United States anyway. Other nations, I think, countries say arrete, arrete, whatever. Whether you want arrete or stop, it's alarming. But then you rest. You rest. And you wait. It's a stopping. That's the negative part. It's a command. Stop. But the positive side is that it's a relaxation. It's a ceasing from one's own labors. So verse 8, for if Joshua causes them to stop, he would not have spoken concerning another day after these things. Verse 9, consequently, a Sabbatism is left for the people of God. For he who is entering into his stopping, he also stops from his works, even as God from his own. Huge verse, number 10, Hebrews 4. For if he who is entering into his stopping, he also stops from his works. There's the positive, the negative and the positive coming out in one verse. Stop, it's a command, but then you rest from your, you stop from your own works. You stop. You relax. You let yourself relax. Even as God from his own. Here again, touching Genesis, touching the original stopping. Because that was the pattern, that was the model. Paul goes on, verse 11, we should be endeavoring then to be entering into that stopping. I'm telling you, the word stopping. Here, I haven't counted it, but I've 6-7 times, probably 7. I should check that out. We should be endeavoring then to be entering into that stopping, lest anyone should be falling into the same example of stubbornness. For the word of God is living and operative and keen above any two-edged sword and penetrating up to the parting of soul and spirit, both of the articulations and marrow, and is a judge of the sentiments and thoughts of the heart. And there is not a creature which is not apparent in his sight. Now all is naked and bare to the eyes of him to whom we are accountable. This seals the deal, I think. We have giant time clues here that our idea of Genesis model is accurate, is true. It's not a far-fetched thought. Paul is tapping into Genesis to explain the Sabbath day, quote unquote, the thousand-year Sabbath day that remains for the people of God. And the people of God in this context, I hope you know, is Israel. We are not the, quote, people of God, unquote. Yes, we are people of God, but we're not the people of God. That would be Israel. We are even more special to God. He has called us out from among the nations, and we will eclipse Israel in scope and glory and destination. Nothing bad about Israel to say there. It's just the nature of the business. So we have a tie back to Genesis, which confirms that for us. And we have a practical help here too in that. This is a type for Israel, but if a day of stopping comes after the 6 days of creation, and if this is a type of Israel's week and Israel's month and their feasts and everything, seven is jumping throughout the feasts of Israel, then our evangel with a new creation, it's more radical. With Israel, you stop from your labors. God created Adam on the 6th day, stopped on the 7th day. With Paul and the evangel of the uncircumcision, we're a new creation. The old has passed by. We are crucified with Christ. It's death. You don't even stop. When you stop at a stop sign, you continue to breathe. When you cease from your own works, at least you continue to breathe. But in type, we have been killed. In type, we have been crucified with Christ. That's a bit of a stopping. Have you ever gone to a funeral and you looked at the dearly beloved lying there inert in a box? That's a stopping. They've stopped. They're not moving. In analogy, in type, that is us. We have died to the old things, and now we live in newness of life. The advantage of this is that you died, but you're still living. How great is that? You died with Christ, but you're still living. So you continue to have fun, to smell the daisies, to drink a little coffee, to be with your loved ones, and yet you don't have to worry that anything from the old humanity is going to sink into you with its hooks and pull you back. Where Israel, they could fall back, they could fall away. Paul starts this whole thing, we may be afraid then, lest at some time a promise being left of entering into is stopping. Any one of you may be found to be deficient. Well, that's not our evangel. We can't be found deficient because our sufficiency isn't founded in ourselves to begin with. It's founded in Jesus Christ. Ooh, you know what? That makes me happy.